Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Impact Fourth Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m., meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference. August 7, 2018, Michigan will hold its primary elections. This impact program is being shared to emphasize the importance of getting out and exercising your vote. This was a live interview aired just before the 2016 November election. The guest was the presiding president of the League of Women Voters of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, discussing the importance of exercising your vote. The following is a pre-recorded program and does not reflect the views of WHFR, its staff, or Henry Ford College and staff. And in the studio, we have two ladies from the League of Women Voters, and I'm going to let them introduce ourselves. We're going to first start off with Betsy. Betsy, introduce yourself, please.
Good morning or afternoon, wherever we are, and thank you so much for inviting the League of Women Voters of Dearborn, Dearborn Heights to be your guests. My name is Betsy Cushman, and I am the president of the League of Women Voters of Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, and a member of the State Board of the League of Women Voters of Michigan.
Okay, and we also have representing the board.
Hi, I'm Layla Elabed here. I sit on the board of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights.
All right. Now, as I was telling the two ladies, I was doing a little research about the League of Women Voters. And Betsy, would you want to do a little overview of how they started? Just kind of like a quick view so people know who we are, who you know, how you started out and where you are now.
The League of Women Voters was founded out of the women's suffrage movement, and women got the right to vote in 1920, so we are going on in 2020 soon. We will be celebrating 100 years of membership. And it was made, the decision was made because women, when they realized they were getting the right to vote, really wanted to know, how can I make the best use, the wisest use of my vote? And so they studied the issues, and they studied the candidates, and they made the decision that they wanted to be nonpartisan. That is, they didn't want to support or oppose any political party or any particular candidate. They wanted to know all their options, and they believed that an informed electorate will make the wisest decisions. They started studying these issues, and in 1920, the Detroit League and the Michigan League actually were founded in those years. And they made those decisions then that they realized before long that everybody, men and women, wanted to know how to use their vote wisely. So that was the very beginning, was that they reached out to the whole public to educate people.
Okay, and Layla, could you look, you're part of the board, all right, and what is the responsibility of the board?
Well, as a board member of the Dearborn Heights League, I feel that the responsibility of the board is to work on providing voter education information, information on the issues on a local level and a state level. And sometimes we do national initiatives too. And I feel like our responsibility being on the board is to make the decisions on, you know, what is going to be our plan for that year for our community, what information we're going to give out to voters in the Dearborn Heights area.
Okay. I want to throw this question out to either one of you. Based on the history where there was a lot of involvement in, well, I won't say a lot of involvement, but there was involvement in national and international issues and things like that. There was also a growth process of how the states and local boards related to the national board. And could you ladies kind of, we had a discussion earlier about that.
We are a league, a grassroots organization, and so that when the issue is going to be one that where the action taken is at the national, at Congress point of view, or whether it's a state issue that the determinations of policy are at the state level, or whether it's local and it's the city, your local city council that makes those decisions, or the county, we study at whatever level. So all the leagues in the state study a state issue, and all of the leagues in the country study a national issue.
Okay, all right. Now, you represent the Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, that's the two cities. Are still others, like, you know, is there a college League of Women Voters, or are there?
Not really. We do have active cooperation at the Henry Ford College.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a lot of cooperating on really exciting projects.
All right.
Year-round.
Okay.
But we also have a group at the Henry Ford Village. So
all right.
We young people and older
all
people,
right.
We
okay.
have both.
All right. Now, the things that the Dearborn Detroit League are voting on, what are some of the things that you're working on specifically at this particular point?
We really did primarily a voter service project. There are really two arms to the league, and I want to make that clear.
Okay, go
one
ahead.
is one where we study issues, reach consensus, and then take positions and advocate. So we actually really do advocate on issues that we have studied and reached consensus on, and that's at whether it's national or state or local issue or regional. In this case, we did study the regional transportation initiative.
All right. Okay.
And so we studied it years ago.
Okay.
We took a position, actually the state board did, because it was such a broad reaching of the four different counties. So we have supported that. But then we have our other side, our other arm, which is pure voter education. And when we're doing voter education, like in our voter guide mm-hmm. or on Vote 411, we show the pros and the cons of issues like that, and then we provide information on all the candidates. We don't show any position that we might have because they're separate arms, they're funded separately.
Okay, now those two arms, are they all a part of the league? Because like when I was studying your history, I saw where in your earlier history that the education arm actually formed its own organization. They separated out from the league itself.
The board of the League of Women Voters of Dearborn Heights and the board of the League of Women Voters of Dearborn Heights Education Fund is the same. We made that change.
Okay.
We used to have separate boards. Now it's one board, but we actually close, you know, we hold separate meetings. We open and close separate meetings.
All right.
Because we keep the funding separate, but it's the same board, and really the education fund simply carries out the pure educational issues.
Layla, so how would the board feed into that particular focus or objective? Or do you have a different way?
Around the two arms?
Mm-hmm.
I think the best way to demonstrate how the two arms work, and I'll give it an example. One one thing that I have been fortunate enough to be involved with after I got involved with the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, is I was able to attend Marathon Refinery, the environmental quality discussion that they had. And we took a position on that, on environmental issues. And that's how I see one part of the league. And then the other half of it is like doing our voter guides, our state and, passing out our state voter guides and creating our local voter guides. So that's kind of how I see.
Okay. I guess what I'm trying to, my experience with boards and the functioning of the organization is that the boards tend to be the fundraisers, the police, the monitors, that type of thing. Yet I'm hearing that between your board and the league is a little more of a joint effort, collaborative effort?
Really, I have to say it's a working board. It's not the normal board of directors. Everybody does a lot of work if you're on the board. Pretty much everybody has to do something.
And I think that's because it is really a grassroots organization.
All right.
And that's why our board might look a little different than other nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And we really, members of our board are amazing. They all put a lot of effort and a lot of work. And by far from doing things like fundraising and things like that. I mean, it's really an active and working group.
Well, then, all right. And given that question, if you're not really a fundraiser, then how does the league continue to function and operate?
It's a challenge because locally our dues are $60 and $55 go on to state and national, which we're happy to be a part. We wouldn't be the League of Women Voters if we weren't acting at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that we have to fundraise to fund our own local operations.
All right.
So that's like we do a letter. We once had this wonderful dinner 2 years ago that was really valuable and raised the most money we've ever seen. And we were very excited. But we hope to do another. We are planning to do another fundraising dinner where people come. We try to keep the price down so lots of people can come, but it is really a way of the community saying thank you to the League of Women Voters for all your hard work, because they know we are a working group. We are volunteers. We don't have paid members.
Now, how large is this? Is the combined organizations? How large are the? How many members?
Well, our local league is about
over
90,
80.
About 90 members, that's been growing. The league is growing, in fact, in the state and around the country, and locally we certainly are, and I think that's because people are realizing the value of this group that has just steady, we're not always the most exciting, but we are a steady source of information that you can count on, because we really study, and when we do speak, we know what we're speaking about.
All right, now these studies, how do you determine what studies to, what things you want to do, and how to go about that?
This is at the state level. We're going to be coming to a state convention in May, so we'll be looking at all of our old positions and saying, is there a hot new issue that we aren't addressing, or is there an old position that needs addressing? That's every 2 years, and then in the alternate years, the National League, and everybody has, there's so many important issues of environmental and, international, we still have positions, so it's like, what do you want most to study? And so it's kind of a hot thing at the conventions, really what are we going to study?
Okay.
So coming,
I see Layla shaking her head. What has been your experience at some of these conventions?
I was lucky enough to go to our recent national convention in Washington, D.C., and it was just an amazing experience.
Okay.
And I really got to see the League of Women Voters work at its full capacity, and seeing people put up different, we were voting on old positions and bringing up new positions. And if there's issues that we want to consider, the national conventions and the state conventions are really the places to be at if that's something that you think that leagues should be working on.
All right.
So that was really, really powerful to be there. It was really, really amazing. I'm just seeing it all come out together. It was very cool. And I recommend anybody who is a non-voting member or a voting member of their league to really, you know, to experience that.
Okay, now you just brought up a term, voting and non-voting. What is the difference?
We really actually just changed at the National Convention yes. so that it used to be you had to be a citizen to be a voting member.
All right.
Now you don't have to be a citizen of okay. the League of Voters to be a member. You used to have to be 18 to be a voting member. Now it's lowered to 16 to be
okay.
a voting member. All
right.
So,
what were some of the discussions about why, you know, the non-voting and voting, you know, what were some discussions that you heard at the National Convention, Leila?
You know, that was very, very interesting. And I really, after discussing things like the non-citizen in the 18 years of age, I really was appreciative to be part of the Dearborn Heights League because I don't feel like we have issues like that. Some of the discussion that was brought up when I was at the convention about non-citizens and people, like they were discussing the age, you know, should there be an age? Should it be 16? Should it be 14? And people were pretty much worried about, you know, people having whole families become voting members and kind of like voting certain people off the boards and voting on certain positions. It was like, really, I was amazed at
okay.
some of the concerns.
I loved the comment that somebody made of, I'd love to see the League of Women Voters made up of 7-year-olds coming out and marching for their positions.
Okay. And that is another question. All right. I don't want to kind of like, you know, not fully answer the question about, you know, how they finally decided to have non. So, wait a minute, I'm saying a couple things a couple of times. Let me slow down because my brain just moved fast. The question I had, and I think I've lost my train of thought.
One thing, let me just say that Leila didn't, is that what surprised me at the National Convention was that we were given ahead of time that this was going to be on for us to vote on, for delegates mm-hmm. to vote, of eliminating citizenship mm-hmm. as a requirement. And at first I thought, well, no, I mean, you need to be a citizen. And then I'm thinking, this isn't to vote in an election. This is to be a member of the League of Women Voters, and that this is great to have all people coming who want to belong, to subscribe
okay.
to our wanting an active and involved citizenship and in wanting people to be educated and make informed choices and to know what the issues are. This is great. All people should do that. So,
there
was no argument at the convention. Everybody, I think, went through the process I did of, okay, why not? So that went through quickly. The one that they were going to have no age requirement at all. You could be 2 years old and be a member.
Okay.
And that's what had all the discussion. And that's mm-hmm. what ended up the 16-year-old.
So the League of Women Voters are not only just dealing with voting, but something other issues?
Many other issues.
Go ahead.
We have positions. If you go to our state website, which is lwvmi.org,
mm-hmm.
or you go to our national website, which mm-hmm. is lwv.org,
mm-hmm.
or you go to our local lwvddh.org, you can see a list of all the things we've studied and what our positions are, and every one of them says positions, and you can
okay.
click on to see what our positions are.
So then the mission is of the League and Vote, and don't have the mission in hand.
To inform and to educate and inform the citizens to be active, to engage in, I think it's right here because I always run to it.
All right.
It's a national nonpartisan political organization to encourage the informed and active participation of citizens in government.
Okay.
And we have.
All right. And then another thing that we were discussing is in part, you know, the education. Because to me, and I'm kind of like showing my, but you know, education is fine, that, you know, but there's only so much you can do in education. But when you say to inform, does the league actually actively research or try to find out, and how do you go about doing that? As Leila, I saw you shaking your head, yes.
From my experience, we do, anytime we do information, we definitely do a lot of research. Either that research may come from our national league or our state league or from our own research, mm-hmm. but definitely everything. And I think Betsy can give a little bit more information about that as she's been in the league much longer. But
it's a committee is formed of, mm-hmm. if it's national committee, it's people from across the country, and you are either invited, you volunteer to that subject interests you. It's really a very open process, and mm-hmm. then they get together, and or state. I've been on state study committees, and then you break down the work and say, I'll research that part. Mm-hmm. And you use as many resources as you possibly can, and you bring them. So now we're about to start a new state study, which is updating old positions and looking at new issues, and it's on budgeting and taxation.
Okay.
At the state level, which really doesn't excite a lot of people, but it is so important.
Okay. All right. I just had a time. We're going to take a break right now, and we will be coming back with our two guests.
Trinity House Theater, located in Livonia, Michigan, is a nonprofit concert venue where you can enjoy the wonderful experience of hearing live music in an intimate setting. For more than 30 years, Trinity House has hosted hundreds of artists from around the country, as well as local musicians, including singer-songwriters, folk artists, fingerstyle guitar players, and indie groups. In addition to a wide array of musical concerts, Trinity House offers local musicians a chance to showcase their talents with an open stage night on the 1st, 3rd, and 5th Tuesday of every month. Plus, tasty refreshments are available for you to enjoy at every performance. So come on out and enjoy a fabulous show at Trinity House Theater right on 6 Mile Road just west of I-275. For a schedule of upcoming concerts or for information on booking a show, visit trinityhousetheater.org.
Looking to return to school this fall? Well, fall registration is now open at Henry Ford College. Go online to your WebAdvisor account to register before classes start on August 23rd. If you don't have a WebAdvisor, call the HFC Counseling Office at 313-845-9611 to get started on a...
There's a spring in the mountain and it flows down to the town.
From NPR Music and West Virginia Public Broadcasting, welcome to another Mountain Stage with your host, Larry Gross.
For more than 30 years, Mountain Stage with Larry Gross has been the home of live music on public radio. Each two-hour episode of Mountain Stage can be heard every week on WHFR, Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Recorded in front of a live audience, Mountain Stage features performances from seasoned legends and emerging stars in genres ranging from folk, blues, and country, to indie rock, synth pop, world music, alternative, and beyond. So join us here at WHFR.FM, the station making waves, on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for Mountain Stage with Larry Gross.
And now we're back at Impact on the Fourth Tuesday. And in our studio, we have Betsy Cushman, who is from the League of Women Voters. And Betsy, your position with the League?
President.
Okay, she's president of the Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters. And we also have Layla Elabed, okay, who is a part of the board of the Dearborn Heights League of Women. Someone's like a tongue twister there. All right, and while we were off the mic for a minute, Betsy had indicated some things that she really wanted to talk about and bring out to our listeners. So Betsy, why don't you start trying to address some of those specific things?
I'd like to talk a bit about our voter education, because people think of us, especially at the elections, and I know we'll talk about what we do for elections, but year-round, what we'll be doing in January is updating our list called Who's Who, Your Elected Officials, which lists everyone that you elect if you live in either Dearborn or Dearborn Heights or Inkster, actually, It lists from your school board to the President of the United States, how mm-hmm. to reach them, what mm-hmm. their terms are, mm-hmm. what their salary is, mm-hmm. if any. Mm-hmm. And it is so welcomed mm-hmm. We have printed copies. People keep it. They tell me, oh, I love your Who's Who. I keep yes. it right by my phone, and I call my congressperson, or I call, you know, it's like, right. I love it as a way okay. to getting a hold okay. of. So that's one of the things we do. I also really want to mention the Youth Voter Registration Program, which we do in the spring of every year. We go into all the high schools in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, public and private, and we reach out to the students to register them to the vote if they are either 18 or are going to be 18 by, like, November uh-huh. of that year of Election Day. We register them to vote, and we take their applications to the clerk's offices. But we also tell them about the resources that they need to have and to know that there is unbiased sources of information. And go to vote411.org, which uh-huh. we'll talk about later. But this is such an important thing. We've had many of our members have come and given a 5-minute why it's so important that you should vote. And by the time they've heard some leader in the community talk about why it's important, we have one of our members was remembers poll watching in West Virginia with having to pay a poll tax in West uh-huh. Virginia and going with her mother to where her mother had to pay in order to vote. And these students afterwards, they came up and they swarmed her and they said, thank you for sharing that. And we've had people, leaders, Arab American and Muslim leaders in our community, say 5 minutes about, and then stay and register them uh-huh. About why it's important that they feel that the youth are our future. Their voice is important to be heard and to know that we really care that they are showing up and voting.
That leads into another question that we had while we're off the mic, was some people, given this particular election campaign and how we finally came down to the final people who are going to be on the ballot, that there is some possibly
disenfranchised?
Not disenfranchised, but people are not
alienated.
I'll spit it out here. I'll get it out eventually. That people are feeling that maybe their vote is not going to really have an impact because they really don't have a real choice. Okay, is that a lot of people who were Sanders or this whole thing now with the Republican Party, where in the discussion of how much the Republican Party is or is not supporting Trump, and disillusion—that's the word I was trying to get. What's your impact? You know, what's your feeling about that election year? And if so, how would the league respond to that kind of a thing?
Well, the league. Well, it's important that the league, that everyone knows that the league is nonpartisan. So okay. We don't support or oppose any candidates in any election.
Okay.
And this being the election that it is, and that it is probably one of our most historic elections, and okay. that we have, we could possibly have a woman president, and also all of the rhetoric that has come out of this election.
Right.
I think that, you know, for me, myself, as an Arab American, as a Muslim American, all I can do as being part of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, is to educate our voters, to put unbiased information out there so they can make the best decision possible, and just really stressing how important it is that they go out on election day and vote. And not just in the general elections, but how important it was to vote in the primary elections. And we did a lot of work around doing candidate forums and putting out as much information out there as we could, because I think that a lot of times the primaries, you know, they don't, not a lot of attention to it. And I don't think people realize that's
probably when the major focuses for the league is for people to recognize just that the primaries is more important, you know, or is equal of importance, okay, as the national elections, okay, and yes, even
one of the things I really want to also mention is that people are talking so much about the election for president, but every year there's an election, at least one. They are all really important. And there are all these other ballot issues and races that are just as important, that affect your lives just as importantly as the president. And what goes on in our state legislature, that's really vital. They make so many of the laws that affect our lives and who can vote and how easy it's going to be to vote and the redistricting issue. These are campaign finance. So many of these issues are at either the state level only or state and national issues, and you need to look at all of the races in your school board. They're making really a lot of important decisions, and you need to know who's running for your school board and to be involved. And the other one that I get passionate about are judges, because I'm always the one that volunteers. The Wayne County leagues, we all get together to decide to cover the county, who's going to ask about the county officers, mm-hmm. who's mm-hmm. going to cover for vote 411 and voter guides, and who's going to cover what. And I always volunteer the Dearborn Heights League to do the circuit court judges. Okay. All of our leagues do their district court. But circuit court are the county level, and they are so important. They make decisions. Most of us in our lives go before the court for something. And many people don't realize that they are voted on. They don't know when they look at the ballot and they see, oh, here are all these names. How do I decide who to vote for? That sounds familiar. And they vote for a name. And it's like, really, the name might be a good one, but you really need to know something about them. Right. So go on vote411.org and look
think,
it up.
Am I correct in saying that the disillusionment may be by the fact they're not really informed of what the voting process is about?
I think so. And then so many of the issues that are carried on are not the issues that you know, people want to know about jobs and the economy. And, you know, they keep saying it, but in fact, you need to be hearing to look up, go on their websites, go and look and compare all the candidates, the minor party, the major party, all the candidates. You need to take a look at what their issues are.
And the League of Women Voters makes that very easy, because we have vote411.org that literally does that, that puts all the candidates up on their positions and what their issues are. It has them all right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy. The league makes it very easy for voters to be informed when looking at the candidates side by side.
Okay. Can you reiterate about what is Vote 411 and kind of like...
Vote411.org is a website where you can get all your election information. It literally has everything that is on your ballot mm-hmm. right there. Mm-hmm. It has information.
You put in your address.
Yes, you put in your address. It gives you the information about where your voting poll is. Mm-hmm. It gives you information about the candidates, positions that are going to be on your ballot, mm-hmm. The proposals and things like that, mm-hmm. And all of your candidates that are up for election. It has all that information
now,
on there.
This is across the county, or is it just for Dearborn Heights?
We have this information for Dearborn Heights, mm-hmm. for Wayne County, for the state. Mm-hmm. It has all your information on there.
I think also, can we address this Wayne County, because Wayne County is a very diverse county. Okay. And when people, so the league has, is that another level of membership, or is it, help me understand.
No. You join your local league. And if there isn't a local league, which many areas don't have local mm-hmm. leagues, then you join maybe the closest league to you, or you can join the state league directly.
Okay.
And we get together voluntarily as we have needs to. So the Wayne County, we get together to do voter service every 2 years.
Okay.
And so, and we used to have a regional organization, but as the number of leagues, when we were losing members, mm-hmm. that was a problem of keeping it going, of having enough members to volunteer their time to also work on county issues.
All right.
Now we do it just as on a as needed basis.
All right. So The 411. There we go. Okay, 411. Say that correctly. You worried for me because my glasses.
Oh, 411.org.
All right. Okay. And anyone can go to that and get information about the Wayne County area, or
for it covers anybody across the country, pretty much. Vote 411 is supported by the National League, and
okay.
So many of the leagues across the country participate and vote 411.org.
Okay, so anyone within the United States, okay, can go to 411.org and put in their address, and then they will get information on candidates and things within their...
And whether or not it covers their particular local area really depends on their... do they have a league in their local league?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very good. And kind of like an aside to all of that is about getting back to the historical point. I think we may have already answered the question about the fact of a woman being on the ballot for president. Do you think that has covered up some of the critical concerns and issues?
I think there are other reasons why there have been other issues given so much attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really is an important distinction to know. I think it was really important that Barack Obama was an African American who was actually turned out to be elected president. But I think that these really do pave the way, broadening all of who we are makes it easier for the next person. So I do think it's important that we look at men and women. Men, I don't think I've even mentioned, joined the league in the 1970s, early 1970s.
All
and
right.
We've had a male vice president. We've had members on our board forever now, it feels like. So men and women are part of the League of Women Voters. I'd say locally, our membership is probably 30% male.
All right.
So people always think of us as women. We've not changed our name because of the historic nature of our name, but in fact, we're men and women.
Okay. Does the state give you some directives or information about certain things that they want to focus on? How do you determine whether or not you want to share with that focus or not?
That's part of our program planning during the year, and we'll be doing that this year come January, is to plan, do we want locally, do we see a state issue that we're going to go to a state convention and say, we think that you really need to study, whatever it might be. So we give an opportunity to all our members to get involved, and we're a very open group. We would really like any of your listeners to join us.
Okay. When are your meetings?
Go ahead.
Board meetings are every month, every Thursday. First Thursday of the month.
All right.
And then any meetings that are open up to all members are scheduled throughout the year.
Okay.
They're not really set. It's just kind of like when...
Okay, and the league meetings are when?
Okay. We don't have regularly scheduled general membership meetings. We have the board meetings.
Okay, so the community at large could attend the board meetings? Is it open to the board? I mean, open.
They are, but I think they'd be really bored.
Okay. Not a play on words.
No.
All right.
But it's look at our website for information, look at Facebook for meetings that are our Facebook page.
There are community forums. Do you have community forums? Okay.
We do.
Not only do we do the candidate forums when during election years, but we also have forums on different issues like the redistricting forum. We had a voting rights forum with a panel. That was very interesting, especially we haven't touched on this yet, but I don't think people realize that this is going to be the first election that we've had without the full capacity of the Voting Rights Act.
Okay, and what's the impact of that?
So in historically discriminatory states, they no longer have to report some of the things that they're doing, like, for example, in Arizona, I believe that during primaries, they went down to, they used to have 200 voting polls in the state of Arizona, and they went down less than 100. And they didn't, and prior to dismantling the Voting Rights Act, they would have had to report something like that, and that wouldn't have been legal. But now, without the full Voting Rights Act, you see that across different states of people being disenfranchised from their voting rights. If there's, we were fortunate enough to hear a speaker, I believe his name is Ari
Bruman,
yes.
Okay.
And he does a lot around educating people about the Voting Rights Act and what it means for this election. So if you ever get a chance to read any of his stuff, it's really sad to see people who've had the right to vote most of their lives are not going to be able to vote in this year's election. Because we don't have the full Voting Rights Act.
Okay. Is that also part of what you were talking about, the redistricting? Is that another important?
It is, although the districts really have not changed now since the last census. So the next time it's going to be 2020 when there will be whoever is elected in that year, it's going to be making decisions in their state legislatures about redistricting.
Okay. All right, we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back with you.
When you purchase the latest TV, tablet, or smartphone, don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Don't let your old tech tools clog your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org.
Hey, knucklehead, what are you doing?
Just throwing away this old WHFR loyal listener guy.
Well, make sure you recycle it, lame brain.
I know.
Better yet, why not save a tree and sign up for the WHFR e-newsletter instead?
WHFR has an electronic newsletter?
Yeah, you just need to go to their website, pay attention when I'm talking to you, WHFR.FM, and hit the sign-up link. It has all the same bells and whistles of the paper newsletter.
Really?
Yeah, it's the most up-to-date WHFR info sent right to your email box. You got one of those, don't you?
Yeah, I got three of them.
You wise guy. Think about it.
Yeah. No more running up to the record store to get my copy and saving me on gas, too. Info sent right to my email box. That makes me very happy.
Well, okay, Mr. Happy. Let's go to WHFR.FM right now and sign you up.
Yeah, let's go do it.
It's informative, quicker, and easier on the environment. It's the WHFR electronic newsletter. Visit our website, WHFR.FM, and sign up today.
Hey, you guys and dolls out there, you're invited to join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m. We'll go back to the 50s and 60s, when rock and roll was just getting started. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror and cruise on down to the Malt Shop, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Only here on WHFR. Be there or be square.
Right, and welcome back to Impact on the fourth Tuesday. In our studio, we have Betsy Cushman, who is the president of the League of Women Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters, and Layla Elabed, who is a part of the board of directors of that same morning of the Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters. All right, two of the things that while we were off the air, we were discussing some of the things we wanted to make sure our listeners came up with. And Layla, there was something you wanted to bring.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about my membership with the League of Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters. When I became a member, I was actually one of the first members to use the website's PayPal to join as a member.
Okay.
So that was kind of cool. I'm pretty memorable among members yes, because of that. And what I see, I really want to young people to know how valuable it is to become a member. Even if you don't think that you can become involved on a board level, or sometimes we ask for people to volunteer on different events and things like that. But even just being part of that membership and having that community to fall back on with voter information and just having that network is so valuable. And I really, really want to encourage our young people in our community to get involved in an organization like the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, because it's an unbiased, it's not intimidating. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes being part of these political parties, mm-hmm. Can be a little stressful, especially in an election like we have right now. And just having the League of Women Voters that, you know, you're not committed to any political party, but you're part of the political process, I think is very, very valuable. And I think it really will keep our young people informed. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, very good. And Betsy?
I'd like to add to that, because I'm sort of at the opposite end of the spectrum, because
right.
I joined the league when I was 22,
all
and
right.
next year that's going to be 50 years
okay.
of being a member. So I joined in the 60s, and I can't tell you, and I've had a working career, and now I'm retired, and I can't tell you how much I've learned from all those years, how things have changed, but I keep growing, I feel, because of the League of Women Voters, because we're always on to something new. I'm always looking at, I'm being challenged to do like a radio show or something that I would never have voluntarily done years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always learning, and I love that aspect. So for all ages, I think it's a great way to learn.
Okay.
To be a part.
And also something that was mentioned is that the 411 is in a printed form as well, okay?
Our voter guides we've been doing from the beginning of time pretty much, and that we continue, so that we added to it an online version, which is called vote411.org. But really it's the voter guide, and you can find in your state, in your local libraries or pretty much around the state, or in your city clerk's offices, you can find copies of the state voter guide, which covers the statewide ones, such as the Supreme Court or the State Board of Education. You know, the issues that nobody really, you know, the races that lots of people don't know about, it's very important to read about. And then there's the local Dearborn Heights one. And the nice thing about them is that you can browse them and look through and really compare the responses and think about it all at one time visually. Lots
right.
of us are visual. And there's a tear-off sheet
all right.
that tells you, you can write down what you want, and you can take that with you to the polls, and so that you know ahead
That's
of time.
A very important thing, because I think the voters need to, many of them are not aware of the fact that this particular election, the ballot is a couple of pages, all right? And that when you go in, so there's narrative before different proposals or amendments or what have you, and therefore someone needs to, you need to really look that over rather than trying to go into the voting booth and trying to read that at the time where you feel rushed and pressured, and any questions that you may have, you will have had a chance to address and deal with, or even trying to find the answers. That voter guide is, if different people or organizations might want to get some of them, how would they go about trying to get them? Or
Well, they can reach our local office if they're interested in us dropping off voters, local and state voter guides. They can call the office number at 313-278-6476.
And I want you to repeat that again.
That number is 313-278-6476.
All right. And at that number, they can get not only the voter guide, but information about the league and different meetings and everything.
Yeah, we encourage people to go to their library.
Okay.
Because it does cost us money to put into it. It costs like a dollar or something to mail them.
Yes, all right. Okay.
But, you know, a lot of times some of our members will volunteer to drop off guides at different locations.
Okay, and those locations would be like the libraries, different places like that where they have the most access. Okay. And Jay, I believe we have our engineer, producer, or whatever you want to call it.
Station advisor. Yeah, I'm running the board, so if the microphones are too loud or too soft, folks, while you're listening to it, it's all my fault. Jay Koronik here. I've been mentioning on my show, I'm going to plug my Friday show, the WHFR Journal, we've been interviewing a lot of candidates who are challengers and so-called third-party members because they don't get much chance. They don't have much money, and they don't get much attention, and I'd just like to commend the league and in their production of the local voter guides. And again, there's two of them, folks. One specifically for Dearborn Heights, which is a sort of a 8.5 by 14 white stapled document. And then the sort of tabloid newspaper form is the 2016 voter guide, which really is for all of Michigan. And that's the difference between the two. But I want to commend them because they give equal time to every candidate for every office who has returned a questionnaire that they sent out on, well, it could be as many as 4 or 5 different questions depending on the situation there. And they're all presented equally. You know, the same size boxes, even if a candidate only had a couple sentences as an answer, they get the same sort of boxes. And if people are still uncertain about candidates, again, everyone who's on the ballot can be voted for. I mean, well, one for each office or so. But the point is you can find out about the Green Party, Libertarian Party. Unfortunately, I'm looking in terms of the president vote. The U.S. Taxpayers Party and the Natural Law Party, they're going to be on the ballot here in Michigan, but they did not meet the League of Women Voters Education Fund criteria for participation in the voter guide questionnaire. Do you know what that is? Bunny chance, or is that a...
I'm sorry, that was determined by the National League
Office.
And,
okay. Yeah, uh-huh. I think one reason might be is that they don't actually have a chance to become president because they're not on the ballot in enough states. For example, Jill Stein is on the ballot in 45 states. Gary Johnson, Libertarian, Jill Stein, Green Party, Gary Johnson, Libertarian, is on the ballot in all 50 states. So they could... win technically in the Electoral College, or at least cause trouble in Electoral College if they win a state. The U.S. Taxpayers Party and the Natural Law Party, in fact, the Natural Law Party isn't on the ballot anywhere else in the United States. Michigan is very unusual. In fact, the party sort of dissolved nationally, both here in the U.S. and in Canada. So but nonetheless, folks, all this information is there, and you'll get background. I do think I have to be suspicious, and this is the opinion part of the show, and of course all opinions on the show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford College, but if someone doesn't return your questionnaire and you indicate that they did not respond, I don't think I'd vote for that person. And it's amazing that some relatively well-known people, and maybe it's because they are so well-known, didn't return the ballot, like
okay.
John Conyer. Locally.
And I think that's part of what the voter guide does. It gives you an opportunity to look at what's going on, who's there, and what the participation is. We have just about 5 minutes left of our program, and one of the things we did not discuss, I wanted to discuss about the league's participation on during the election day and your watchman. Is that a watchman?
Poll watcher.
Poll watcher, that's the correct one. And what is that? What is that about?
This is the first time the Dearborn Heights has participated in this particular program, and it is really geared towards trying to give feedback to make the mechanics of voting better. And so we will be there purely in an observatory way on a limited number of precincts to see, you know, how long did you have to wait in line? Did you get redirected if you came to the wrong precinct? Did things work the way they were supposed to?
All right.
So there's a list of observable items that you simply check. We're not challenging. We're simply watching.
All right. And if you wanted to summarize for our audience, the League of Women Voters, who you are and what you're about?
We are an organization of primarily volunteers who work to encourage the participation of citizens in government. In fact, we really do believe that people will make the best choices, but they need the information to know about issues.
Okay. All right. Layla, did you have anything you wanted to?
Just from my perspective, and only being on the board for this is my second year on the board. I really feel like the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, does an amazing job doing nonpartisan information, and I just encourage people to not only here in Dearborn Heights, but in their local cities and communities to look for their local league, become a member, get involved, because it really is a good way to get involved in the political process.
And the contact information, how are they getting with you?
To get in contact with the Dearborn Heights League, I can, we have our website.
And do it slowly.
it is lwvddh.org. And our office number, again, is 313-278-6476. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay. And the information of the website, the
411.org.
Okay. Jay, did you have anything that you want to share with us?
Well, did we bring this up? One last thing I just ran across my mind. In terms of the voter guide and vote411.org, it's also wonderful. Not only do you give equal time to third-party candidates, but the background on nonpartisan candidates. And of course, the proposals. But for example, in terms of the nonpartisan category, a lot of people are really confused about what judge to vote for. There's so many judge names of local judges that are on the ballots. And you sent them questionnaires, and there okay. They are, all equally presented on three different questions.
And Betsy, what is it?
One thing I really wanted to say is the league did a phone call, and this is really important information. Did you know that the Supreme Court justices are nominated by political parties and run on a nonpartisan ballot? I believe we're the only state that has that. It's only our Supreme Court that does that. But you won't know by simply looking which party nominated them. So I recommend all the more that Supreme Court, if party is important to you, pay attention to their answers and look up their information about who nominated them.
Okay, and the one thing that I didn't really kind of get involved in was the nonpartisan aspect of a league. How do you maintain your nonpartisan position?
That actually is normally not a hard thing because we really never support or oppose a candidate. I don't think about the party when I'm looking at how we gather information about candidates. It really is purely a matter of who is running and educating people about all of the candidates because they are all very important.
Okay. And as far as from when the league started out back in 1920, what are the major changes that you think have occurred?
Probably, including men, I guess, was probably the biggest because we've always been wanting people to have good factual information, study before we make any decisions about a situation and about an issue.
Okay. And so, you are the grassroots aspect of it. How do you feel about the grassroots aspect?
The grassroots aspect? Mm-hmm. I really do feel like this is a grassroots organization, especially when we can focus on local elections mm-hmm. and getting out local election information and local issues. Like I said, we've done positions on the DEQ marathon. Department of
Environmental Quality.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And talking about, you know, how that affects
local air pollution.
Okay. Yes, local air pollution and things like that. So I think that it really is a grassroots organization. And that's why I think it's important that we get young people involved.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I want to thank you both for coming to and joining me on the air. And make sure that you tune in for our next impact, which is going to be on the fourth Tuesday. And do we have a fifth Tuesday this month?
I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
I hope so, because local nonprofits, nothing like them. They're doing a great job for the community. We want to remind all of our friends that who are listening to this show that tell your friends this show is going to be podcast on our website as soon as our broadcast hour is over with. So you just go to whfr.fm, click on Talk Shows, and click on Tuesday Forum, and you'll just choose the date. This is the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, who have been with us today. And, of course, we thank Betsy and Layla very much for coming into the studio.
And Betty, thanks you very much, too.
That's right. Thank you so much, Betty. And coming up next here on WHFR Dearborn is The Malt Shop with Daddy G. And we'll say goodbye for now. But don't forget about that election. Don't forget to vote. Don't forget to tell other people to get out the vote, too. I guess I just have about 30 seconds. Absentee voting is available right now, and you can go to your local city clerk's office and request that ballot. You have to meet a certain criteria to do that, but they'll give you that ballot request. You can sign it, and actually you can vote right there at the city clerk's office, I understand. And I don't know, Betsy, do you want to make a quick comment on that?
This might be a really good year if you're debating about absentee voting. This might be a good year because we hope for a really great turnout of people, regardless of what. Please vote. Even if you're not wanting to vote for president, then vote for all the other races and look them up because they are all important.
Right. So thank you very much. And folks, tune back in again for another episode of Impact on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month from 1 to 2 o'clock, as well as the fifth Tuesday when they come up. Yes. Stay tuned for The Malt Shop.
1 in 26 people will be diagnosed with epilepsy in their lifetime. Are you or is someone you love 1 in 26? From summer youth camps to an informational hotline, from teen and parent workshops to public policy advocacy, the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan works to improve the lives of people with epilepsy and those who care for them. Become part of the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. Join in the fight at epilepsymichigan.org. That's epilepsymichigan.org. Together we can stop seizures, find a cure, and overcome challenges created by epilepsy.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Guys and dolls, you are at the Malt Shop with Daddy G here in WHFR, and we are going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the Malt Shop, where the kids are dancing and the jukebox playing. And here we are, back in the 50s.